السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا إلى آخر الآية. إن شاء الله تعالى in this brief khutbah I'd like to remind yourself and myself of an enormous responsibility that all of us share as Muslims. A responsibility that if it is not being fulfilled, it is all of our necks on the line. And that is the responsibility that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us in the same ayah in which He inaugurates us as a nation. So He says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا And that is how we have installed you or made you a middle nation. A medium, a balanced nation. So we've been declared a nation by Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is of course, two things at the same time. A previous nation that did not fulfill its responsibilities has been moved from its position. And another nation, this nation, the followers of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have been placed in this enormous position. Now they are the balanced nation. But then after Allah gives us this award, He gives us a responsibility. He says, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ So that all of you may become witnesses against humanity. That you may become witnesses against humanity. And if that wasn't hard enough, he added one more component to this disclaimer. In this ayah, he says, وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will become a witness against you. He will become a witness against you. You will be a witness against humanity, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be a witness against you. Similar ayat have occurred other places in the Quran, in which this enormous responsibility, which is two parts. One is us doing our job against people, but the other is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam testifying in regards to us. So the ayah that occurs in Surah An-Nisa, when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Sahabi to recite it, وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِدًا. We will bring you, Allah says to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will bring you against these people as a witness, meaning the companions, the Muslims. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam started shedding tears and told the Sahabi, Hasbuk, stop, I can't listen anymore. It's too powerful. So this enormous responsibility has been placed on the shoulders of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But why is this so hard on him? It is so hard on him because he has to testify before Allah azza wa jal sallallahu alayhi wasallam against his own people, against the very people he came to, that they did not do their job. He has to complain to Allah azza wa jal on the Day of Judgment whether we did our job or not. He has to bear witness against us. One of his final addresses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against this, when he testified before this ummah, and he asked them, "Have I not delivered the message? Have I not done my part?" At the end of it, he again made Allah a witness. Allahumma ashhad, O Allah, be witness. O Allah, be witness. O Allah, be witness. You know, he gave this responsibility of becoming witnesses against humanity to all of us. So let's discuss very briefly, what does it mean to be a witness to humanity? All of the Muslims, all of us, we have to represent this deen, the revelation that Allah sent, the light that Allah gave His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in His book and in His practice, in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to share this in words and in our practice with the rest of humanity. It is not enough to share it in words, and it is not enough just to share it in practice or just to practice it. It is something that has to be shared in words and in practice, which is actually the actual sunnah of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before we go any further, just something very simple and basic. Our religion is composed essentially of two things. It is, you know, certain knowledge, and that knowledge leads us to certain kinds of action. So there are basically two things. There's knowledge, and then there is action, right? All of our deen boils down to these two things. But what comes first? Obviously, it is knowledge that comes first, and then action. But now keep these two things in mind. What can go wrong? There will be some people who have a kind of corruption that they have knowledge, but they have no action. And there will be another people that have another kind of corruption who will have action, but it is not based on knowledge. There's two kinds of problems that you can have. What's the middle path? What is the middle nation supposed to do? It is supposed to find the way that is based on knowledge, but then they act according to that knowledge. Now, if you have knowledge, but you don't act on it, the term in the Quran that all of you have already memorized is al-maghdubi alayhim, knowledge but no action. And on the other hand, you have a people who have action, but they have no knowledge. They're confused. The term for them is al-dallin, and we ask Allah not to make us from both of these groups every time we stand in the Fatiha. Every time we stand before Allah, we ask us not to become of these two deviations, and to be of the people that have knowledge and then act upon that knowledge. Anyhow, it is not enough even to have the knowledge and act upon it. Now we have to share it with humanity, be witnesses against humanity. This is our job. This is a huge task before us. And this task falls upon every single one of the Muslims, every single one of us. And I want to share with you some aspects of this responsibility that you and I, doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, what background you are, what age, what gender, there's some aspect of this responsibility that falls upon you. At least do your part. So you're in the safe when it comes to standing before your Lord. Now here's the thing. Very, very simply speaking. We talk in this country about giving da'wah to America. Giving da'wah to the non-Muslim neighbors. Spreading the message of Islam. Giving, you know, public addresses. Getting on the media. Responding to the attacks against Islam. Big things. We talk about big things. But I want to talk today, inshallah ta'ala, about little things. And I want to begin with a story that I often share when it comes to this issue. And this is a story that takes place in Los Angeles, in a major masjid. And mashallah, we have masajid all over the country. Major Islamic centers all over the country have sprouted. So this is a typical story. This is not something special to the people of LA. This happens all over America. This guy, there's around the masjid, there's a huge Vietnamese community. And the Vietnamese are, you know, a lot of them are Buddhist, a lot of them are other kinds of idol worshippers, their own form of religion. But there are some brothers who had become Muslim among them. And this guy goes to Jum'ah, you know, he works at a store, he goes to Friday prayer every week. So his co-worker, who's not a Muslim, who's an idol worshipper, says, "Man, take me with you, I want to see what you do." So he says, no, I don't want to take you, I don't want to take you. He doesn't take him, right? But he asks him so much, one day he says, "Okay, come with me. So he takes them to the masjid. So they go inside the masjid and he sees everybody making ruku' and sujood. And he says, "Where's the statue?" He says to his friend, where's the statue? He says, "We don't have a statue. We worship Allah who's, you know, cannot be reduced to an image or a statue or an idol." He says, "That's amazing." Right? That's really beautiful. So how do you pray to him? He says, "You see what these people are doing?" So he saw people, some in qiyam, some in ruku', some in sujood. He said, "Oh, I get it. Easy. We do this too." He put his hands like this and he went down like that. Because that's what he used to do in the temple. That's what he's used to doing. This other brother sees this happen from a distance. And in the spirit of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, he walks over, grabs the guy by the shirt, drags him outside the masjid and says, "Until you learn to make salah according to the sunnah, don't you come back." This is what he does to this guy. And the brother that had brought him had also taken shahada not too long ago. And he said, "Wallahi, if I met you, I would never have become Muslim." And this I share with you, because not only are we not sharing the message of Islam with people in our words and in our actions, rather when people come to us, we're throwing them outside. That's what's going on. So we have to, you know, before we talk about doing good, the physician, the doctor, they're taught to heal people, give them proper medicine, make them better. But you know the first thing the physician learns is do no harm. Before you make them better, don't make the thing worse, right? The first thing is that is taught is do no harm. So the first thing we have to address when we fulfill this responsibility of being witnesses over people is we have to stop doing the harm. Our masajid in our homes, we have to be ready to deal with people. You know, another area of this being witness against humanity, before you talk about the larger population of the world in this country, let's talk about our own homes. It is easy for you and me to talk about Islam to friends or to strangers or take a podium and talk. How easy is it to talk about Islam to your cousin or your uncle who laughs at you every time you bring it up? Or your cousins or your friend, your extended family who make fun of your beard or your hijab or the fact that you pray five times. "Oh my God, the sheikh is here. The mullah is here." How hard is it to talk to them? It's not easy. And a lot of times in our homes what happens is, especially among our youth, they get heat from home and they, you know, religious youth, they get heat from home, they get yelled at, they get, you know, all kinds of scolding from home. And when they can't take it, they go outside and hang out in the masjid and hang out with the brothers and, you know, this is their escape. Where's shahada ala nas? Who are you supposed to direct your da'wah and your concern to? Who are the first people you are to save from the hellfire? Who anfusakum wa ahlikum? Save yourselves and your families. It's the hardest part. This is where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam began. He began with his family, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And wallahi, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult to give da'wah to your own family. Because they dismiss what you have to say the most easily. You know, you could be a big shot everywhere else. When you come home, you're just, you know, you're little Abdullah. You're no one. Right? You're telling me? Imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling his father. Right? He's telling his father, "This is just at-tamathil, these are just idols and representations, it has no basis. Antum laha akifun." Right? This is all wrong. A knowledge has come to me that hasn't come to you. He's talking to his father. What's the dad gonna say? You try to, you know, your kid comes up to you and tells you how to file your taxes, what are you gonna say? "Go play with Legos. Go, leave me alone. You're in no position to tell me how to live. You're my kid after all." Ibrahim alayhi salam has to talk to his father. It's difficult. It's a difficult thing to do. So when we talk about shahada ala nas, number one, at home within our families, we have to learn to be patient with our families. We have to learn, it's not just about telling them, "You're going to go to hell if you do this. Or if you don't do that, you're going to be punishable with Allah." That's not enough. We have to be patient with them and deal with them like human beings. Many of us who turn to the religion of Allah and take it, some of us in this community, we take Islam more seriously now than we did a few years ago. Maybe we weren't that serious, but then we started changing a little bit and now we take it a lot more seriously. But it didn't happen overnight. And it wasn't some button that was pressed and all of a sudden you became like a sahabi and a tabi'i. It didn't happen like that. So don't expect that from other people. Don't expect that people will just hear your words and immediately they will respond. Wallahi, listen to this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's not going to be a better speaker. They will not be a better speaker. And the words that he is saying, they're not going to be better words. They're not going to be. And when you talk about the character and the personality and the example, there's not going to be a better example. So when he gives da'wah to people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person, the best behavior, the best words, the best speech, the best message, all of the best. But people still listened or no? Most people still didn't listen. So don't expect that your two words, man, why don't they listen? They never listened to me. What a shock. People didn't listen to the Messenger of Allah, his own uncles. His own uncles were enemies against him. His own tribe was enemy against him. Why? This is the work of da'wah. Nuh alayhi salam, an eloquent messenger of Allah. You read his words in the Quran, they're beautiful. They're remarkably beautiful words. And yet these words have no effect on these people. You and I read them and we're mesmerized by how incredibly eloquent this man is, alayhi salam. And yet his people for centuries are just making him an object of ridicule. So don't think just because you share some words that you should expect results. And this should not frustrate you to stop giving advice and counsel. Just some practical advice again. A lot of times in your circle of friends or cousins or family, you give them advice, but they will not accept it only because they don't want you to know that you had the upper hand. Because if they accept that advice and they start making salah or they stop doing that thing that they were doing, they'll feel like they don't want you to get the feeling that you won. So it's an ego battle. So maybe once you leave and you go away, then they'll take your advice more seriously. Because they don't want to do it in front of you. So don't look for the results. You just do your part. This is such an enormous task and so difficult to work without seeing results that Allah counsels His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind, you are nothing more than just a means to deliver a reminder. Just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. Don't look for anything else. Just keep doing this part. And changing the hearts, this is in Allah's hands. We don't do that. Your words do not change anyone. Your advice, your counsel, your speech, your practice, it doesn't change anyone. These are just your efforts. The change comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, the barakah He puts inside the heart of the person. That's why we call Him Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, or the changer and the alternator of hearts. He changes the hearts of the people. Now, I want to share with you inshaAllah ta'ala another example. That's not from the home, from the point of view of the masajid. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make all of the masajid in this country and all over the world a place where people can come for Islam, not a place where people are pushed away from Islam. But you know, you have people, I met this brother who wants to be, some of the younger guys here know, he wants to be an MMA fighter. This is, you know, Irish fellow, lives in Chicago, you know, he's got like bulky build, tattoos all over his body, working out like 6-7 hours a day, training to fight, you know, those mixed martial arts tournaments. You know, heavy set guy, tattoos and rings like in places you wouldn't put a ring, right? All the kind of guy you would not expect at a masjid, right? And he shows up at the masjid. He wants to know about Islam. And he looks like, you know, three rings over here, one over here, tattoos all over his face. You know, he walks into the masjid, what's the reaction that people give him? Oh my God, I didn't know Dajjal was coming this early, right? People are going crazy. Astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Somebody tell this guy this is against, you know, Islam, etc., etc. This is haram, you can't do this, etc. The guy has no idea. All he's looking for is the truth. All he's looking, and where is he supposed to go? Where is he supposed to go? There was an incident not too long ago where a Muslim brother who was drunk, he came into the masjid at Taraweeh time in Ramadan. He came into the masjid at Taraweeh time. And he got kicked out. He got kicked out, right? Now tell me, if he's drunk, we already know he's got a problem. That's clear. And you expect he would go to the bar. The fact that he came to the masjid, doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you he's trying to change? He's looking for help? But we don't treat these people like human beings. We have these ideals in our head of what this deen should be. We ourselves don't fulfill them, but we impose them on others and judge others by them. Subhanallah. We have become a judgmental people to the point where somebody walks into the masjid and you look at him up and down and say, man, I could tell what deviation he comes from. You know, what his problem is going to be. What his, you know, his confusions are. Or how not serious about the religion he is. Stop judging people. This is not a right that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us. And you see, my teacher used to give just a really remarkable example about people. When you're walking by and you see a pebble on the, you know, a rock, just covered in dirt. You just pass by it, you say it's a filthy rock, what do I have to do with it? And somebody else passes by that same rock and scrapes it a little. takes a little time on it and scrapes it and finds a diamond inside. This is what people are. It's rough on the outside, right? You don't know what's on the inside. You're not going to know what's on the inside. So don't pass judgment on people just based on their behavior and how their speech is. You know, a lot of places in our community and masajid all over the country, you know, masjids have basketball courts, which is a pretty good investment for a masjid. Because all these youth, they start coming to play ball, right? And some of these guys, they've never been to a masjid. They're just from, you know, Muslim kids, but they're from local high school, local community. They're part of a gang. They've got really bad language, right? They've got vocabulary, filthy vocabulary that the elders of our community don't even know exists, right? And they come to the ball court at the masjid. And they're cursing and they're going wild and they're playing ball, just like they would at any park. And anybody would see that and get disturbed. Man, these people, get them out of here. This is not the place for that kind of thing. But you know what? If you kick them out of there, if that's the approach, you kick them out of there, where are they going to go? They're going to go to the club. They're going to go do some drugs. They're going to go join another gang. Or go play in a ballpark with other non-Muslims and do other non-Muslim kinds of things. The fact that they're here, at least they might hear the adhan. Maybe some advice will go into their ears. Maybe somebody will deal with them patiently and give them the message of Islam with hilm, with forbearance, with patience, with tolerance, with thick skin. Because that's really what it's about. In the end, our deen is nothing more than an act of mercy for humanity. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for example, in Surah Al-Balad, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. Right? They enjoined upon each other perseverance, patience, and they enjoined upon each other this idea of mutually and universally shared mercy. It's not just that you have to tell people about Islam, you have to be concerned about people. When you're concerned about people, you learn to work with them and deal with them and you're patient with them. And this is something that is the concern of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Constantly worried about people. Constantly worried. You and I, when you talk to someone, when we talk to someone, they don't listen to us, we say, "Forget you, man, who needs you?" We do that. We have that attitude. Man, that guy didn't even listen to me. Or you know what he said to me? He insulted me. I'm never going to even look in his direction. If I pass by him, I'll avoid eye contact. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is insulted to his face day after day after day. And yet he goes back to the same people full of concern for them to give them da'wah. To give them this Islam. To the point where Allah has to tell him subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ. Are you going to kill yourself over grief? You're going to stress yourself out over grief. If they don't believe it, you know, if they don't believe in this incredible speech, this advice that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent. This is a profoundly important lesson that all of us have to learn, starting with our families and extending into our masajid. The youth here especially, inshallah ta'ala, please listen. A lot of you have come from a background where you were in ignorance. And Allah put something in your hearts where you are at least trying to learn something about the religion. Many of you. Many of you haven't made that change yet, and may Allah make that change happen for you. But many of you started to learn something about the religion. You came in the company of some scholars, or you started taking advantage of some halaqat and programs and activities. But as soon as you started doing that, you started looking down and you started cutting yourself off from the vast majority of the other Muslim youth that are in the rut that you used to be in. You no longer talk to them because you have nothing in common with them. You can't speak their language anymore because you've become this sort of different creature that they can't relate with. And this is a serious problem, and this is what I want to conclude with, inshallah ta'ala. People like myself, and people far more qualified than myself, that give khutbahs and talks and lectures, and they give classes and halaqat, they only have a certain small audience. Even this gathering in our Jumu'ah today is a certain small audience. There are people that you know, Muslims mostly and non-Muslims also, that are not here, that need to listen to a good message, but they're not here. And I and other ulama, they cannot reach them. Guess who can reach them? Only you. Allah made you an ambassador of Islam to them. Maybe there are some members in your family that you would never, they would only end up at a masjid if they got lost or something. By accident they would end up here. By accident they might listen to some speech or some lecture or some recitation of the Quran, and by accident they might turn the MP3s of the music and the movies off from their iPod. By accident. Normally they would not. Who is going to get this deen out to them? Who is going to bear witness against them? This is our responsibility. This is a concern you and I have to share. And this is really what sets this ummah apart. This genuine, genuine concern for the rest of humanity. And you see, this is where the Christian community have surpassed the Muslims. They've surpassed us. They go into the lands of the Muslims that are, you know, they're impoverished and children are starving and families are completely in turmoil, and they'll go there and they won't say a word about Christianity, but they'll help them, they'll provide for them, they'll take care of them, they'll provide them medicine and medical care and shelter and job training and all this sort of stuff, and then invite them to the church. And a lot of the Muslims, they're out of this akhlaq, this mannerism of the Christians, they're leaving our deen out of ignorance. This is what's happening. But and here we are, the Muslims ourselves, we haven't shown this love and mercy to each other. And the last comment, I know it's time inshallah ta'ala, so the last and final comment, just some point of reflection and some point of thought. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Qur'an, He describes the attitude of the Muslim. The attitude of the Muslim. He says, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He says that they are tough, intense, when it comes to their attitude against the enemies of Islam, those who adamantly deny the truth. They are tough, they don't compromise with them, they stand firm against them. But when it comes to dealing with each other, what are they? Ruhama. They're excessively merciful between each other. They have this enormous mercy between each other. When somebody says, La ilaha illallah, when somebody says to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, that is enough for you to have a burning love for the sake of Allah for that person. Because that La ilaha illallah is stronger than blood. That is thicker than blood. This is what we need to develop among ourselves. This love that goes beyond ethnicities and age and judging people, judging them based on their knowledge or their accent or the kind of clothes they wear. Right? Stop judging people based on these things and just develop a love for everyone and anyone who shares this kalima of La ilaha illallah. If we don't have this, we can't talk about unity in this ummah. That's all just hypothetical high speech that we can listen to and say, man, why aren't the Muslims united? But we ourselves are not vehicles of unity in our own family, in our own community. We're talking about global unity, and we can't be united with the brother we're praying next to. We're annoyed with him or her. Right? This is the state that we're in. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people that loves each other for the sake of Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jal create between us a brotherhood and a bond of love that makes us fulfill the tasks that we owe to Allah in this deen. May Allah Azza wa Jal remove from us the trials, the tribulations, and the corruption that is eating away at the cohesion of our ummah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us stand before Him on the Day of Judgment successful, that He gives us an easy reckoning and lets us enter the gates of paradise. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. صلي بنا.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah, hayya 'alas-salah, hayya 'alal-falah. حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا يرحمكم الله. If you have cell phones, please do turn them off. Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. فلا اقتحم العقبة وما أدراك ما العقبة فك رقبة أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة عليهم نار مؤصدة.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'll just take less than a minute of your time, inshallah. First of all, I'd like to share that it's an honor to be back, alhamdulillah, even if for a visit. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'll be conducting a lecture. It's a 3-hour session on the beauty of Suratul Fatiha. So I'd like to invite, inshallah ta'ala, all of your friends and family to try and attend tonight at least. It's a weekend program. Tomorrow and the day after is just exploring the literary beauty of the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala, from 12 to 8 o'clock Saturday and 12 to 8 o'clock Sunday here at the center itself, downstairs. But if you're not able to make it for the weekend, at the very least, inshallah ta'ala, try and join us tonight, bi'idhnillah, from 7 to 10 p.m., where we study some aspects of the beauty of the Fatiha. Hopefully that will enrich all of our salawat and our prayers. So please join us with yourself and your family. Shukran lakum. Assalamu alaikum.